sometimes. But here in this place, there are people who love you no matter where you've come from, no matter what your situation is. And we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that there's a God in heaven who loves you and who cares about you no matter what your life is. You might need to hear that tonight. I don't know. I know I need to hear it every night. But tonight I want to welcome you and say thank God for bringing you here. If I can get this thing not to crack me in the shin. I'm just going to move it over. Perfect. Last week we talked about your value and how you are chosen by God and the fact that He chose you before time began. He said in His Word that He set things in order so that you would be brought back to Him and you'd be loved by Him. And we said, and I kind of said, that your value is not based on what you own, what you look like, the achievements that you've completed or accomplished. It's not based on the approval of others, but it's simply and clearly and cleanly placed in the value that God placed on your life. And the so much value that He gave His only Son for you, so that He could be in, so that you could be in right relationship with Him, so that your sin and the mistakes that you've made in the past could be covered up and pushed away, and that He could know you and we could know Him. And we talked about your value and what that means for you in your life. This week, we're talking about the fact that you are called, that there's a calling on every one of our lives, and that not just before time began was your life important and valued, but it was also set and purposed in a certain trajectory or a certain direction. And tonight I want to tell you a story. In just a few moments, I want to share with you a story about a young man who heard a call, who heard about a disassembling of something, and it frustrated him so much that he couldn't stay where he was at. He had to leave where he was to go and be on a mission to fix what was broken. But before we get there, I want to ask you and ask you tonight, what in this world frustrates you? And you don't have to say it out loud. I'm not looking for you to like write this down or stand up and shout it. But I want to ask you, what is it in the world that right now you look at around your world, maybe your high school life, your friends, your boyfriends, your girlfriends, your crew, whoever they are, what is the thing in your world right now that you look at and you go, that just has to change? Somebody's got to do something about that. Somebody's got to fix this. If this doesn't get fixed, something's wrong in the world. Whatever that is, whatever that thing is, I want to propose to you tonight, not to get married, I want to challenge you that could be the very thing that God has purposed you to change. That could be that frustration, that thing that you don't like, that thing that just if it keeps going and going the way it is, then it's unacceptable. That thing could be the reason God built you. It could be. There was a guy in the Bible that found his one thing. He found that thing that destroyed his heart so much that he couldn't go on without fixing it, without being part of the solution to the problem. His name was Nehemiah. And in just a moment, we're going to talk about his story and what happened with him. But before we get there, I want to just ask God to help me communicate this to you guys tonight, because it's so important that you guys understand that you each have a purpose and a plan that God has set up for you. And it is not for sorrow or for grief. It's for joy and hope. So if you would pray with me, I need God's help. So if you would pray with me and for me, that'd be great. Father, I thank You for tonight. We've already prayed a couple times and spoken directly to You, but God, I ask You now to help me communicate Your word. Help me to clearly articulate the message of hope that You give us and the fact that we are all purposed by You. I pray, God, that every person in this room right now would be open to Your word and open to the hope that You give. Lord, I pray that as we've bowed our heads and closed our eyes, we would be open to what You have for us this evening. God, I praise You and I thank You. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. So this dude, right, he is in a land called Persia. Nehemiah is in Persia because his people have been basically massacred. And then the army that wiped out Israel, which is where Nehemiah was from, they came and they took all the people back to Persia with them. And they made them like slaves and taskmasters and put them in positions of education and some authority. But they basically went in, wiped the culture out, and brought them back to reculture them, to retrain them. And years later, after this mass transition happens, Nehemiah is sitting at the king of Persia's room, and that's King Artaxerxes, which if you say that like four times fast, you'll probably puke, so don't try. He's sitting with the king, and he is he's the right-hand man to the king. He's working in this kingdom, and he hears a message from home. And this is like a whole book in the Bible, and I don't want to read you the whole book, so I'm going to condense it to a short story. And I would encourage you to, after tonight, if this story really intrigues you, to go and read the whole book. It's not a huge long book, but it's a very, very good book. So I'm going to condense it in hopes that those of you who are changed in your heart would then dig in deeper. But the story of Nehemiah goes on like this. He hears a story from home, and it's about the wall of Jerusalem that's been broken down. And this wall that traveled all the way around Jerusalem, this wall that protected the city, this wall that kept invaders out and families protected, had been broken down and destroyed. And at this point in Nehemiah's life, he was far, far from Jerusalem. He was far, far from that land. But when he heard about what the state of affairs was of Jerusalem, when he heard about the state of this wall, he was changed, and he was frustrated to the deepest part of who he was. And something happened in his life in those moments. He was so infuriated that this happened that he couldn't see his life lived without something changing, without that wall being rebuilt again. So he began praying, began seeking God about what he could do in this situation. For 4 months, he prayed. For 4 months, he put plans together and prepared, not knowing if he would ever get a chance to go back, just furious and frustrated that the wall had fallen apart. And he knew that in those days, and we might not get this right now, but the wall in those days was critical to the health and the safety of the city. If the wall was broken down, it basically meant the city was destroyed and abandoned. And he knew that if that wall was broken down, the home base of the country he loved was destroyed. And the first step, and the biggest step, towards rebuilding that city was rebuilding that wall. Nehemiah's story starts with him being furious. I asked you tonight at the beginning of this conversation, what are you furious about? What are the things in your life that you just look at and go, that can't be. That can't keep happening. My friends cannot keep dying. They can't keep wasting their lives in this way. Every weekend I see my friends doing this, this, this. Every weekend I do this, this, and this. And I feel wasted after the weekend's over. I feel like my life has just been poured down the drain. It's frustrating, and it can't go on like this. Is that what it is? Last week, after Wednesday night, after I left this room, I went back over to the church, and I was talking with Pastor Claude and Karen. And I got a text message on my phone that had a message in it that contained the reality that another one of my friends from high school had died. And I'll tell you what, that might not grip you. I don't know if it would have gripped me the way it grips me now when I was in high school. But since graduating from high school in 1997, I know I just huge dated myself, but I've lost 10 close friends to drug overdoses. And I'm thinking now, this can't keep happening. This can't keep happening. And I can tell you right now that if I look back at my life, if I look back at these people that I knew in high school, I can look back and tell you that they, in their teenage years, fell for a counterfeit version of what God had for them. They fell for a ripped-off version of their lives. And in the years following, they continued chasing after things that were false versions of what God had for them. Now, I don't know the specifics of every one of their situations, but what I know is that whenever I hear about that, the fire inside of me that is youth ministry burns hotter and bigger. And it reminds me that there's something going on in me that will never stop. It will never end. Because I know that God's peace is what keeps people from overdosing. I know that the truth and the joy that comes in Christ is the only thing that can rescue a heart that's broken. But when I think about the people that I know that are in disastrous situations, I feel like Nehemiah did when he heard about the wall. And he started putting plans together, and he started putting prayers together. He didn't know how it was going to work. He didn't know what he was going to do, but he knew at some point he had to do something. And the only way he could start is by doing that. So I ask you again, what are the things in your life? What do you look at in this world and you go, that can't keep happening. This has to stop. And I want to challenge you in the midst of this conversation to begin praying about those things. Begin seeking God. About, I don't know where your faith is. You might have come in here tonight and you don't believe in God whatsoever. And I hope you're here and hearing this and going, I hope that's true. I hope that God does hold that in his hands because I need him to. If that's you, I want to tell you, he does. He does. Not because I say so, but because I've seen it over and over again in the lives of people that are broken and hurting, that the only place they've been able to go for true healing is to him. Don't take my word for it. Test him. Try him out. And not try him out like you try out a t-shirt from the mall. Try him out like, say, God, if you're there and you can really do what he says you can do, do it in me. And watch what happens. All right. So there's something in this world that frustrates you. There was something in the world that frustrated Nehemiah. He goes before the king. And in these days, if you went before the king and you had a sorrowful face, you would actually be, the possibility is that you could be killed for that. Okay? They wanted, the kings wanted everybody in their court to be happy and joyful. They didn't want to know that anything was wrong. So when the king had somebody in his court that was sad, it meant a couple of things. Okay? It either meant somebody's head was literally going to be rolling on the floor, or it meant that there was something this person was so grieved over that they couldn't stop. They couldn't keep it away. So what they did, what he did, what the king did in that situation, is he said to Nehemiah, that was weird, Nehemiah, he said to Nehemiah, I should do that whenever like I start falling asleep. He said to Nehemiah, why is your face so downcast? Why are you so sad? And Nehemiah began to tell him about the wall that had been broken down. And the prayers that he had prayed in the months prior to that gave him the language to share and the authority to share with the king what was going on in his hometown. So he makes these requests. He shares his heart, the burden of his heart, with this man who is an authority, who had the capacity to change things. And you know what happens? The king says to Nehemiah, I'm going to resource you. I'm going to give you time. I'm going to give you lumber. I'm going to give you the ability to go and fix this issue. Now, it wasn't Nehemiah's great skill at doing it that made it happen. It wasn't Nehemiah's ability to convince the king to do things that he didn't want to do. It was one thing and one thing alone. It was a God who had a plan for Nehemiah's life. And I'm telling you guys, telling you teenagers tonight, God has a plan for your life. He has a plan for your life that was written before time began. In the Bible, in a great book that has a great title named Jeremiah, he says in 29:11, it said, God has a plan for you, a purpose for you. He was developing that in the womb. While you were still in the womb, God had a plan and purpose for your life, a plan for a future, a good future, and a hope. God has a plan for you. And the easiest way to see the direction and the trajectory of where you should go, where you should launch, is to start looking at the things that you know need to be fixed. And say, I get passionate about that. And it's not in your ability, it's not in your strength, but as you seek God over those things, as you seek God about those, he starts to create opportunities and open doors that no man can open. Only he can. And you have these conversations that change things. And I don't know where you're at. I don't know what it is for you. It could be a club at school. It could be a team that is just a wreck with things that are going on and you want them to change. It could be a youth group where you know people's hearts are faking. It could be whatever. I don't know what it is for you. But I want to encourage you and challenge you tonight to seek what it is that's frustrating you. Begin praying about it and trust that God can open the doors to fix it. Now here's what Nehemiah did. He went home. Right, he goes back to Jerusalem, and he begins work on this wall. And there's all these frustrating things happening. He has the blessing of the king that he was working for. He takes these resources back to Jerusalem, and he begins, all of a sudden, starts talking to people about rebuilding the wall. Now, they had lived in this setup for a while, and they begin, you can tell, like, in the story, he goes back to the city, and he just hangs out for a while, doesn't even try to start building. Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but I want to share with you that if there's something frustrating you and you begin praying and seeking God about it and you begin pushing forward and you want change in it, but it doesn't happen right away, trust in God. Trust in him to open the doors that need to be opened. He can do it. There's a lot here that we could go on for hours about, and I'm not going to do that. Some of you are like, thank you. Others of you, you know what's frustrating you, and you want to see it changed, and you're wondering what you can do about it. What Nehemiah did is he went back to Jerusalem, and he started speaking with others about what needed to change, what needed to happen. He started implementing the plan that he had prayed over and sought God about. I want to encourage you tonight to start thinking through what it means for you to walk in the purpose and plan for your life that God has created. It's not complicated. It's not hard. It means basically looking at the world and going, what makes me angry? What cannot continue to happen? What needs to change, and how can I fix it? With God's help, how can we make this happen? And if the answer is, I have no clue how it can be fixed, that can never be fixed, it'd be crazy to even think that it could be, then you're going in the right direction. Because to think anything smaller is a waste of your time. You're too valuable to waste your time doing things that you can figure out how to fix. All right, guys, tonight there's a bigger part of this story. Do you know every story in the Bible whispers the name of Jesus? Every single story. Now, the story I've told you about Nehemiah going back to Jerusalem has really a lot of great lessons that you can learn from an example of a guy that did amazing things. But the biggest thing that happens in the Bible when you read from Old Testament to New Testament, and that's basically the whole Bible, cover to cover, is that every story you read has either a mention or a shadow of who Jesus is. Now, that might not make sense, but let me tell you something. There was another Nehemiah that came thousands of years after Nehemiah went to rebuild the wall. Jesus came. And he didn't come to rebuild a wall. He came to rebuild a bridge. And the life that you live, that you suffer through fake versions of your life to uncover false joy and false hope, the things that you go to for help in hard times, the things that you trust in that falter underneath your feet, the things that you think are rescuing you, but then in the end you wake up the next day and you go, why did I ever go there? Why did I ever do that? Those things, you go to them because there's a brokenness in your heart. It can't be fixed by what you do or what you think you are. It can only be fixed by one. And that's the true Nehemiah, who is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came not to rebuild a wall. He built a bridge. By laying down his life, he built a bridge so that you could cross from death to life. You could go from here to know God over his dead body. He died and he rose again so that you could know God. And if that resonates in your heart, it's not because I'm such a good speaker, by all means. It's because the Holy Spirit is at work in the room and he wants to move you towards himself. He wants you to know the peace and the love and the joy that is in him and him alone. And tonight, as you've heard these challenges kind of placed at your feet, I want to invite you to pick one up. If you've heard a challenge tonight about something that frustrates you in this world that you can't live and let go anymore, then I want you to pick that up and start carrying it. If you've heard me say that Jesus Christ is the bridge builder and you've never understood that before and you know that there's something in your life that's broken, I want to encourage you to pray a prayer that says, Jesus, I need to know you. If you're the bridge builder, if you can really fix hearts, fix mine. If you're in the room and you've experienced both of those, I want to encourage you to be the Nehemiah that God has designed you to be. Go to the wall that he's called you to go to and begin praying desperately over those things. The young man that died last week, he actually died on Monday, and they were doing the autopsy on Wednesday, so I don't know if it was an OD. It's sad that these days I assume that's what it is. But he had a 2-year-old little child at home. In 2001, his 14-year-old brother hung himself. In 2002, his dad died. The mom is home alone with this 2-year-old baby now, caring for her grandchild. The only peace, the only hope that she can trust in is the knowledge that there's a God in heaven who has a plan for her. I trust and I know that each one of these men that have died and gone heard the message of peace and hope that I brought to them. But the thing that drives me every day to bring you this message of hope is that I know that there's so many fake versions out there in the world that people fall for that end in hangings and suicides and ODs. I don't want you to fall for that. What keeps me up at night, it makes me mad, it makes me cry, it makes me throw my fists at walls to know that there's people in Baldwinsville that fall for fake versions of the peace that only He can give. I want you to know tonight you're loved beyond belief. You're broken more than you know, but you're loved desperately by the God who designed you. And He's got a purpose and a plan for your life. A purpose and a plan that you have not seen yet, that no eye has seen and no ear has heard, because He is the one that's designed it. And He's designed it for you and you alone. So let's pray. Why don't you guys stand up? I want to pray with you guys and for you guys. If you're here, I just want you guys to close your eyes. You don't have to bow your heads or anything. I just want you to close your eyes right now. And if you're in the room and you know what it is, when I say what frustrates you, what makes you angry, what is that thing that can't continue happening? You know what that is, and you're saying, God, I want to make this a matter of prayer. I'm going to make this an issue. Then I want you to say, that's me. And by raising your hand right now, you're saying, that's me. There's something in my life that needs to be changed, and I'm willing to pray about it for the next week. I see those hands. Leave them up. Leave them up. Leave them up. This is something that you're going to have to at least put a hand in the air if it's going to change. If it frustrates you, listen, I got friends dying each year because they are falling for fake versions of peace. And I'm willing to say, I'm going to pray about that for the next week because it kills me at night to think that it could still be happening. If this isn't something you're willing to raise your hand over, then it's not worth praying over. I'm going to pray for you guys right now. And if you would, pray with me. God, I pray for these things. We join with You in Your purpose and plan for our lives, and we say, have this thing. Have it, God. I pray that You would open doors that no man could open. For those ones in this room that are raising their hands right now, I pray, God, that You would burn a fire in their heart that cannot be put out. Pray that You would keep them up at night, that You would wake them up early in the morning, that it would be the thing on their mind at night, and it would be the thing on their mind in the morning, that they wouldn't be able to stop thinking or talking about it. So much so that the people around them would get frustrated because it's all they talk about. I pray, God, that You would be the center of that. That Your grace and Your hope would be the message we carry into every one of those situations. Amen. You can put your hands down. You might be in the room, and tonight you may have made a decision about Jesus Christ being the bridge for you. If you can, look up at me. I just want to say to you, if that's you in the room tonight and you have not made a decision about Jesus being the bridge for your life, about Him walking with you, and you want to say, God, I surrender to You, I want to give you the option to do that. But I'm not going to ask you to come down. I'm not in the business of embarrassing anybody. I'm not even going to ask you to raise your hand. What I am going to ask you to do, if that's you and you're saying, I need this Jesus, I need that in my life, then what I want you to do is hang out up here for a few minutes after we all dismiss. And I want to talk to you about connecting with you with a one-on-one coach and getting you help along your spiritual journey, answering the questions that you have. We all have questions, for sure. But we're going to close in prayer, and then I want to invite you guys to head downstairs, and you can play some air hockey and some pool and